At the end of the day, you got to decide if our team's the right one for you. I'm not going to help you decide. Just like patients, we give them the options. Here's your problem. Here's what the best options we have. You get to decide if this is the right option for you.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. If you're paying attention, you know that you only make money when you work. It might be great money, but it's dependent on you. The information on this podcast will help you solve that. We interview experts and provide analysis into financial freedom through commercial real estate. Why? To help physicians like you thrive. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to Surgeon Syndicate. This is your host, Dr. Michael McManus. We are here for the second half of our conversation with Dr. Alex Tam. Alex, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me back.
If anybody out there missed the first half of this conversation, please go back and listen to it. We had a great conversation kind of discussing the different pathway and the different business models that really separate traditional medicine, with me being a surgeon, and Alex doing integrative medicine and being a chiropractor. And a lot of what we do isn't so far apart in how we as surgeons can learn a lot, especially on a business standpoint, from chiropractors. And if anybody's listening who felt a barb on that, there's no barb intended. I love these conversations because I learned so much from them. All right. So Alex, we talked about on the last show that, you know, you were working 60 hours a week. You did a lot to expand the capacity of your practice by training other people to fill in so you didn't have to be there 5 days a week. And then with that, you broadened your financial security, your income, with some real estate investing. So tell me a little bit more about how that journey, this is kind of a scary step. It's one thing to train people in what you're already doing, but now you've been through all these years, you're the expert, you're training people in your practice, you're the dude. And everybody, your patients think you're the dude, your employees, you're the dude. And maybe I got the dude out of that. If anybody's watching on YouTube, I decided today I'm going on vacation. So I have my background is in Telluride, but I'm not really on vacation, but we're going to use some dude terms here. But now you're jumping off into something that you're not the expert, that you're not the final answer there. Tell me about that journey for you.
Yeah. So the journey for that, getting and going from practice into real estate, was really more of, I went to a seminar back in 2018, and it was a business development seminar. And that was the time when they talked about business. And then towards the end, they said, well, for all of you guys who are in business, what do you do with your investments? And we're like, well, 401ks, IRAs, I don't know, I'm single family. And they started talking about, you ever thought about multifamily? And I never thought about multifamily before 2018 because they always seem unreachable. Like, I wasn't sure if I can put millions down to buy an apartment. I didn't know how to operate one. But there was something called a syndication. I was like, oh, what in the world is a syndication? Never heard the term before. And a month or so after that, we invested in our first multifamily syndication as a passive investor. And when that happened, we were starting to get checks in the mail. And then eventually it got direct deposited. Went to direct deposit eventually. At the beginning, it was checks in the mail.
And it was almost funner with the check, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because it was like Christmas. You open the envelope and you got to take it.
The whole process was more real, right? So from there, I started investing more and more in the passive investments as an LP. As I was doing that, I was telling other doctors what I was doing. But Alex, tell us more about that. Tell us more. Tell us more. And I didn't feel like I knew enough to tell them that much more, except for what I was doing. And I'll say, go read this website. Go read Bigger Pockets, right? Go read a website from this syndicator, that syndicator. And they'll read. And then a few months later, we get back into the same conference. And I say, hey, did you do anything? Well, I didn't really do much. I didn't understand. Explain this to me. Explain that. They were asking me what IRR meant, what ARR meant, what NOI was. I said, dude, I don't know any of that. I don't know. And then eventually I said, you know, I should know, right? I should know what those are.
Yeah.
For me, for the first few years, was just the know, like, and trust. And I put a lot of trust and like, and not a lot of verify. So good thing I picked great people to work with. Eventually, I said, you know, I need to figure this out because so many doctors were asking me on how this stuff worked. And I didn't know. I eventually joined an educational program and then a mastermind where I was now hanging out with other people who were mainly doing real estate and learning the ropes of what a cap rate was. For a long time, I didn't even know what a cap rate was. I heard about it, zero clue what it was, right? So during the educational process, mind you, I had 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, 4 years of LP experience. So then when I started learning how to, there's actually roles in multifamily, right? I didn't know that. I didn't know that there was different roles. And I thought I was just going to go learn it and start taking it down, right? Then I realized, I can't do that, not by myself. But eventually there were great teams that were around us that allowed my wife and I to become asset managers, become key principals, play a role in that, and then start raising some capital. And in 2022, between JVs and GPs, we got into about 8 deals, right? And in 23, we got into a few more, and we're looking for a few more this year. But eventually, I got comfortable and got knowledgeable to talk to other doctors about what it is. And now I know from the front end and the back end of how it works. So and that's how I got into it.
That's awesome. So out of your initial, you said, you know, the know, like, and trust. And did you ever in your initial investments have any go bad where they promised you a 20% return and it ended up being 2?
Not yet.
You got a capital call.
Not yet.
Oh, that's not awesome. Yet. Where did you find the people you initially invested with? Because you obviously did a good job, or you got really lucky, and it doesn't matter at this point.
Right. So initially, the conference that I attended was the 10X conference with Grant Cardone.
Okay.
I invested in a couple funds, and they're doing well. And then someone told me, you should read this one website. I said, what's this website? I've never heard of this. It says Bigger Pockets. I had no idea. I said, okay, let me start reading on this Bigger Pockets website. And then I found Joe Fairless and Ashcroft Capital, right? And then I started investing with them, and those are doing great, right? Great communication, great teams. And I just invested with Cardone and Ashcroft for 4 years. That's all I did. I didn't touch anybody else.
So Cardone is pretty easy to find because he's out there. I mean, that's what he does. He gets found. He doesn't get found.
He finds you.
And he's got a pretty good track record. So how'd you find Joe Fairless?
I found Joe Fairless after reading hours of forums about who's the most trusted syndicators to invest with. And between him and Praxis Capital, they kept popping up. Ashcroft and Praxis, right? And it turns out Praxis is only down the street from me in California. I later on talked with Praxis, right? And they said, how come you didn't choose us? And I said, because it was very simple. You guys are both great. Ashcroft offered monthly distributions. You guys did quarterly. And I said, I wanted to get paid monthly because I was so used to it with Cardone.
Okay.
Right? Because I was doing Cardone for about a year before I ever started mixing it up with Ashcroft, with Joe.
When you started with Cardone, how much due diligence did you do with them? Did you have a bunch of investor calls? Or you just decided, you know, if I'm going to do this place, I'm going to jump in and
I've been following Grant Cardone from 2016 to 2018. So I already trusted him with a lot of the business stuff.
Okay. Because you had done the business stuff and it worked.
I've done the business seminars. I've done the business stuff with him.
So you went to his seminars and you implemented his stuff and it worked.
Yes.
So you're like, okay, I think he knows what he's talking about.
Right. And then when I heard about the syndication stuff in 2018 for the very first time, in the room and then the conference were a lot of real estate people. I was shocked at how many real estate people that there were. It makes sense now. At the time, I had no idea. Probably talked to 10 to 15 other professional, full-time commercial real estate people, and they all have invested with Cardone and have had great experience. Like, I wasn't just going to talk to his team, right?
Yep. And it was from forums. So you read forums, which is basically community intelligence. I mean, if you're like, okay, if all of these people who are doing this passive investing thing and talking about it, and they all have positive things to say. It's kind of like a vote. Like everybody keeps voting for them.
Right.
When you decided to go with Ashcroft, did you call them or did you just sign up?
So I read forums and then I chatted with Travis, right? Travis Watts.
Okay.
And so after you chatting.
Travis?
Yeah.
From the forums or from the podcast?
Travis Watts, he was working for Ashcroft, right? So he was investor relations. So he didn't call me. And then I kept reading and I call Evan, who was part of their team as well.
Yep.
And then from there, I said, okay. Then I felt comfortable enough. All I had was the experience from Cardone. So I started asking them about Cardone's questions and I'll start throwing it at Ashcroft and be like, hey, let's see how they answer it, right? And they were really transparent, 100% transparency. They were like, hey, yeah, this is the deal. Here it is. Here's the address. Here's what's happening. Here's the numbers. And I said, okay. And on the forum, people who have invested with Ashcroft, there was this one guy. He invested with them 3 different properties. He actually flew to every single property and walked with the property manager.
Oh.
And this dude had pictures of him. And back then, you know, AI wasn't out yet. So it's hard to generate some of those, right? To pick a random dude who has a lot of posts. So it almost made me seem like, okay, this guy seems like he's credible and he seems like he's done his due diligence. And there's multiple real people on forums because you see him on the forum. And I went to check their social media and LinkedIn to make sure these are legit.
Okay. People. She did a little bit of background check.
Little bit of digging, right? Hey, is this person real or did they like strum up 400 people or just to talk good about them, right?
So have you at this point, have you met Joe?
I have not.
Oh, okay.
No. I'm still trying to go to my first best ever conference. And gosh, I wanted to go in 21, 22, 23. And then this year I have another conference the week after. So I wasn't going to be gone for 2 weeks in a row.
Okay.
So I couldn't make
it's
it this
year.
It's
a great conference.
Are I've you heard going it's one of the year? Best.
Are you going to go this year?
No, I couldn't because I have the same week after, I have to go to Cincinnati with our other partners.
And with Praxis?
No, because I've joined another group in Cincinnati where we look at a lot of the Cincinnati areas.
Multifamily?
Multifamily.
Mm-hmm. So who's that with?
Compounding Capital Group. It's me, another person that we met in the mastermind, J.D. Bellacar, and then our other partner, Jason Bayek.
Okay. So it's funny when you say Cincinnati, because like my whole direction, because I was really in that same multifamily. And then when I got introduced to Ash Patel, who is one of the hosts on Joe's podcast, who's this whole Cincinnati thing with Joe.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm like, this is so much fun and so much cooler. And it was like this hard exit off the multifamily freeway. And off to doing retail and industrial. And like, this is so much more awesome over here. And so like, it's funny, the number of conversations where I'm like, wait, how did you get to Cincinnati? We got introduced some totally different direction.
Yes, so, yes. And industrial is something we're looking into now as well.
Okay.
And I'm actually interested in some industrial. So
that's awesome. So tell me what you love about industrial.
Industrial so far, what I have seen is, I mean, the triple net, that's very attractive. The fact that, hey, I mean, in our medical building, we have to take care of our own stuff, right? It's not like the owners come and take care of it. In industrial, with a good size space, people are less likely to move out, from what I hear, right? It takes a lot more to pick up and move, okay? It's not just like a couple beds and, you know.
Well, the short-term industrial lease is 5 years.
Right. I mean, when I sign lease for my office, it's at least 5 years.
And you get to industrial and the amount that they spend to set it up, you're usually a 10-year lease, or a long lease is a 20 or 30 year lease.
Right. So we like that. We like that.
You're not releasing every.
Yeah. And it seems like the cash flow is great as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. You know, one thing I haven't really dove into yet is the cost segregation and tax savings. I don't know anything about that yet. Maybe you can shed some light on the industrial cost segs versus multifamily cost segs.
I'm not going to say I'm an expert on this, but it's using a cost seg person. Really, the process is the same and just bringing in the cost seg expert. Probably the difference is you just have a warehouse. It's basically a giant empty shell with a concrete floor. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be as much. The cost seg may not be as heavy as an apartment building because you're not dealing with blinds and stoves and those things that depreciate differently. But right. there typically is still some, because most industrial isn't just a blank shell. That there's some office in, even a pure warehouse has a little bit of office. And so there will be some stuff. When you get into retail, there's a little bit more typically, but the process for a syndicator is kind of the same. You get a quality COSSEG person and they yeah. do your COSSEG. And right yeah. up front, you can ask them, like, what are we looking at here? Compare this for me. And they will tell you right off the top, just kind of some broad guidelines on how that will be different. So,
yeah, yeah. So that's why we're looking into it. So it's definitely a possibility.
We'll get back to our show in a minute. But first, I want to offer you an opportunity to accelerate your learning. My life changed and my ability to start becoming work optional changed when I gained the people and the knowledge to start investing in commercial real estate. One of the key people there was Ash Patel, and joining his Invest Beyond Multifamily Mastermind. With that, I had the people and the knowledge. Well, that mastermind is no longer open, but for a fraction of the price, Ash has now made a course. And this is probably the most valuable set of information, the quickest way to move along your learning curve. So if you are interested in actively investing in commercial real estate and retail and industrial and office, I would recommend this course to you. We're going to include a pre-sale link both in the show notes. It'll also be on the surgeonsyndicate.com website. And in your checkout, we'll save you another 1%. I know it's not a lot, but every little bit helps if you use the discount code MIKE1487. So take that step now and move your future forward. If you're not interested in investing actively, give us a call here at Fortress Capital. And let's talk about what your goals are as a passive investor. But it's time to stop listening, start acting, and let's move your future forward. That's why right before we were on, I had these calls all morning and my brain was kind of cooked. And I'm like, I got to go do something. I went for a walk and I got a little office in Green Bay. Green Bay is an industrial town. So it's right on the edge of an industrial warehouse district. So I was just walking amongst the factories and warehouses, which I like.
There you go.
I would rather own. So now you're starting to make this transition. Something I did want to bring up is, and not that it's a bad thing, but a little bit of luck, and I love the transition you're making, is was a great time to be investing in multifamily from 2010 probably through when interest rates changed. And so there were a lot of people syndicating who, it was hard to fail. It was like flipping homes when prices are going up. You could do it wrong and you win. But the great thing is, because of who you invested with, as interest rates changed, you didn't feel the pain that some people out there who didn't invest with the same quality of people. But what I love that you did is the know, like, and trust. Because if you look and go, okay, what's it going to take me to understand syndication, to understand managing an apartment building? That was a much longer term thing to figure out. But to do your homework on the people and find the right people. And now you probably know Joe Fairless's backstory. I'm fortunate that I got an interview with Joe from the Invest Beyond Multifamily Conference that's on the podcast. So if anybody doesn't know who Joe Fairless is, go back and listen to it. Listen to Joe's story, because Joe's first syndication was a train wreck. And he basically, as the quality of person he was, he, through his future success, still paid back his investors every dollar that was lost in the first deal and all the money he had promised them as returns. And there are very few people in the world who operate that way. So, total respect. And because of kind of my entry into it, it's funny, Joe still is like this mythical person. I met him several times, most down to earth guy. And I feel like I'm meeting John Elway every time, like, oh, John, you're going to the Hall of Fame. But it's silly, but a lot of respect for the guy. So,
absolutely.
So back to your journey. So you met the right people, you learned the stuff. Now you're actively investing. Mm-hmm. Before you made that switch, if you look back at your journey as a passive investor, if a doc came to you now and said, tell me about this passive investing versus that doc who came to you in the early days.
Yeah.
What advice would you give him? Because doctors probably as a whole are untrusting. They like being the expert. You go read a little bit and you're like, oh, shit, this is over my head. And you kind of stop and be like, I'm just going to leave it in my index fund and not mess with it. What would you tell those doctors to help them move down this road of seeing a little better returns, diversifying their portfolio, all the great advantages of real estate?
I would say that the first thing is, depends on what their goals are, right? Before I was be like, oh yeah, you got to invest in this. This is the best thing ever. Now, with more education, the maturity level I would ask them is, well, let's talk about why you want to invest. Let's talk about that first, right? And we've heard, well, I want to eventually get out of my work. Oh, okay. Or I want this to pay for my daughter's college. Or I heard that if I can invest this and get a few hundred dollars a month, that'll be a car payment, right? So it's like, okay, why do you want to do this? And really, before even talking about the investments, I want to know them as a person to make sure this is the right thing for them. That's the real key thing. And then setting expectations, right? Some of the things that people can ask me, and they'll say, well, Alex, what's the worst thing that can happen? And I'll just tell them, you can lose all your money. That's the worst thing that can happen, right? Worst thing that can happen, you lose all your money. You're not going to lose more than you put in. It's not leverage like that, but you can lose all your money. And they're like, whoa, well, that's really straightforward. And I said, yeah. I said, I want to be truthful to you. I don't want to lie and be like, oh, well, the worst thing that could happen is 1%. No, the worst thing that can happen is that you can lose your money. But here's the thing. You can also do that with stocks, right? And funds, and people lost all their pension back in 2008.
Yeah, you could be in a state teacher's pension fund.
Right. Gone, right? So I said, but also at the same time, let me tell you the benefits as well and how we mitigate against that. Let me tell you about our team. And at the end of the day, you got to decide if our team's the right one for you. I'm not going to help you decide. Just like patients, we give them the options. Here's your problem. Here's what the best options we have. You get to decide if this is the right option for you. Talk to other players in the area as well. Talk to the other syndicators to see, right? You find a lot of them on bigger pockets.
Did you ever have somebody that you talked to and said, I don't think this is for you?
Well, the ones who I don't believe this is for is when they have unrealistic expectations. And what I mean is, the ones I said, ooh, you're probably not going to want to do this, is they're expecting. They said, I want a minimum 10% cash on cash. And at the end of the exit, I want 20%. I don't want to get any less than that. Can you guarantee that? They'll say, can you guarantee that? I want a verbal guarantee that this can happen. I said, here's the thing. I said, no one who are righteous or who want to do it right will guarantee this. Investments are never guaranteed. Heck, as doctors, we can't guarantee the well-being of a patient, let alone you're trying to get me to guess what the guarantees are going to be. I said, this is our track record. This was what we're predicting. If these numbers hit, best case scenario, right? Middle of the road, possible worst case scenario, and this is what we're going to do to make sure we get the best returns as possible. And the ones who said, well, I won't do it until we get that. And I said, then this is not the right one for you.
What do you find is the biggest holdup to people who it meets their needs? They're like, yeah, I understand. I've seen my 401k drop by 20%. I understand it's not perfect. I like a lot of these things, but they won't pull the trigger. What do you find is like the, one of the biggest things of not pulling the trigger?
They fear the unknown. They fear that even though there's statistics backing it up, they fear the unknown because they don't know. And a lot of times it's due to their past. Somehow they got into something that they didn't know and they got screwed over. So I'll ask them. I said, it sounds like even though this is the right thing for you, and even though it sounds right, the statistics back it up, but you still don't feel like this is the right move. Why do you think that is? And they'll be, oh, well, I don't know. I don't know if they got all the information. And I'll ask them, have you ever done something where you weren't 100% sure of? You had the data, you got into it, but then it ended up really bad and you lost your money. And 80% of the time, they'll say yes. A bad experience has haunted them. And now they're very, very careful to the point where it could be a little bit of self-sabotage for them to see the next opportunity, right? They start thinking about all the bad things that can happen because it's happened to them before. It's like a bad relationship.
I mean, it's a good point. Like, you meet somebody who had something particular happen in a bad relationship, they don't want to be in another one. Like, I'm just not going to do that again.
Yeah. Even though everything lined up, I just don't even want to get into another one. It seemed great. The person's great. Everything's great. Yeah, but the last one screwed me over so bad, I don't want to get into another one.
That's interesting. And I guess that person, that's a psychological battle. And I think as a syndicator, as an operator, those are just some, you know, you let them go.
You let them go.
You don't want to convince you. I mean, that's always one of the things I tell people. If it feels like they're trying to convince you to invest, that might be a little bit of a red flag.
Yeah. You let them go. I mean, I want to figure out why, right? And I'll say, hey, if this one might not be the right one for you, why don't you do this? I'll still keep you on the investors list. You get the newsletters of how this one performed. And you'll see after a year or two, if what we've talked about in this conversation comes true, right? And then if you feel like a couple years down the line, you feel like you're ready again, then reach out to me. That way you'll know what I've told you on this stat sheet of what's going to happen. Since you're going to get the newsletters anyways and the communication from our investors 2 years down the line, keep this. But as we send out quarterly emails, let's see how well it matches.
Yeah.
Right? And if, hey, that's the only way. So what if you're 2 years behind? It's okay.
How many calls does it usually take before somebody invests? Do they call, have one conversation, they feel good, or is it all over the place? Do they have like 10?
It's all over the place. I'll tell you this. We've met people that have seen me at seminars, other doctors, and then 3 years later, out of the blue, they called me, Alex, I've been watching you on social media. I'm ready to invest. It's just like, wait. And they'll say, I don't know if you remember me from like 3 years ago. A friend of a friend introduced us. But even then, we still have a few conversations. I'm not going to be like, oh, well, you're ready to invest. Well, yeah, just wire me over 100 grand and we'll pop into a deal. I was like, wait, hold on. How do I know you again? How do we know each other? I want to know a little bit more about you. I still want to know what your goals are, right? I want to make sure this is the right thing for you, that expectations are set correctly.
But that's the know, like, and trust, though.
That's that know, like, and trust. I am making sure that you know, like, and trust and verify me before you just throw money at you.
That was how long it took 3 years of watching your social media to go, you know, he hasn't changed. He's consistent. Yeah. I think he's real.
I keep seeing him at seminars. He must be all right, you know? Yeah, it's not going to be the first time. That's like saying, how long does it take for someone to say yes to get married?
That's interesting. It's funny because I know some docs who are excited and they're like, hey, I want to jump in on this. And then they won't pull the trigger. And it's a lot of different reasons. What I tell people is make a bunch of phone calls, talk to a bunch of different operators, watch their stuff. But if it's something you think you want to do, you don't have to throw your money at it right away, but keep learning. And I think there's a lot of benefit to learning to more than listening to podcasts is great, especially people listen to this one. That's
I agree.
Reading books, all that. But when you engage with people, I think it means more. It's like test driving a car. You can read about cars, but until you go test drive it, and that's kind of the calling operators, test driving their story and just talking to them about it and feeling, are you comfortable talking to this person? Going to conferences and meeting people in person and getting that deeper in. And some person, it may take them 3 years of doing that. But for that guy who you talk about, there's probably 10 or 100 who just kind of did the first couple steps and then stopped.
Right.
And then 30 years later, they're looking at their retirement. And they're like, I wish I would have done that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think that is just like the don't stop. If you think this is something that's good for you, and it is for most people, I mean, if all of your money is just tied up in the stock market or in your 401k, I really believe strongly in diversifying that into some different
Absolutely.
Stuff. So just keep walking down the road until you've learned enough to be comfortable with it.
Right. I mean, you got to immerse yourself with it, right?
Yeah.
I remember heard a quote from Denzel Washington. He says, you hang out in the barbershop long enough, sooner or later, you get a haircut.
That's great. You're like, okay, I think this guy could cut hair.
Yeah.
How many examples did I need? Did I see two guys come through, or did I see like 2,000?
Right, right. And everyone needs to see different people.
That's great. Well, is there anything we haven't covered that you'd like to share that you really think people should know?
I think we've covered quite a bit. And another thing that we started doing about 2 years ago, shortly after we got educated in real estate, was I started a virtual assistant agency to help other doctors and other real estate professionals work with virtual assistants. And that's been a huge part of my life, incorporating virtual assistants into my life in the businesses. We have, just working for me, we have 12 virtual assistants that work for me. We have about 25 to 35 other virtual assistants that work for other people full time. So I think I just want to share that with people, is that the power of getting help and knowing how to delegate, automate, and systematize your life is so important.
That's awesome. I hired my first VA 2 months ago.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was this huge hurdle. I think I thought about it for 2 years before I did.
Yeah.
And if I could look back, I think I journaled about this morning. Like, if I knowing everything I knew now, what would I do different? I would go back while I was still working full time and had this great income and start looking at things I want to get rid of and hire a VA to do it.
Yeah.
And it was such a scary thing, especially to hire somebody working in another country. But it's kind of the same thing as working with the syndicators, is talk to some people, find somebody you trust, find the service you trust, and then hire somebody. Some people talk about super low, you know, money, but 10 bucks an hour or eight or whatever you're comfortable with, and do it for a month. You know,
yeah. Like, I mean, get your feet wet.
Yeah. For most physicians, you can hire somebody for a month at 8 bucks an hour, and you didn't just ruin the budget there. And even work through, get a new one every month until you find one you like.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, all these things that were like such a nuisance to do, or you couldn't quite get done, you can just hand off. And then next thing you know, like, we're already talking about, okay, what's the next person going to do? There's so much you can accomplish that doctors just don't have time to do. That's always an excuse. I don't have time. Even if it's things like ordering groceries to be delivered to your house, booking a plane ticket. I mean, a true personal assistant. It's the amount of time we spend every week on things that you could hand off to somebody else. And the way I look at it now, what I tell people is, if you make more than you have to pay that person, it's a good deal.
That's right.
I don't know a single doctor makes under $10 an hour. And to have somebody do all these tasks for you to free up your time that is worth so much more.
Yeah.
And the part that for me is, I still have this like, oh my goodness, what I'm paying this person. And she told me the other day, like, I am so glad I have this job, because I used to work in a call center at night for AT&T or somebody or some just big company. And it's so great because I get to work from home. I don't have a 2-hour commute into the city.
Yeah. That's big. The commute is crazy.
Yeah. And it's like this, such a wonderful job. And I'm like, oh, and you can transform somebody else's life by paying them what seems to you like hardly any money to transform your life. That's a win-win.
Yes, I agree 100%. Yeah. What you said is so true, that it's like an investment. People have to see that as an investment. It's not an expense. It's an investment. One of my mentors told me, he says, people's free, because what you pay people, they will get you back in multiples in return. If they don't, they're the wrong person.
Yep.
Right? So in reality, the people didn't cost you anything. See?
Absolutely. So, well, that's great. So that's part of what you do as a business now too, is hook people up with VAs.
Yeah. So we got real estate, the integrative practice, and VAs.
That's awesome. You know what's great about that for you is, you're no longer dependent on one business. If one business has a bad year, you're like, other ones are still making money, and there's that diversification.
Right, right. And then that was one of the key things, Dr. Mike, was to have our real estate cover our expenses so that we could truly be financially independent, right? And when we were able to achieve that about a year and a half ago, I didn't even know that was a thing, but we did it. Right. And that was a big weight lifted off our shoulders as a family. But it made me even more passionate about what I was doing, because I truly feel like I get to do this, but because I don't have to, but I get to. And that's a whole big mind shift right there.
It is. And it's interesting. I had this conversation with my wife last night because we never really looked at it this way until somebody had told me. They're like, listen, right now, and we've got a reasonable nest egg, but they said, what do you think it would take? How much money would be the bare minimum for somebody to never work again? And I forget, I threw out a number. And then we walked through this little exercise because of some people that we both know, as we talked about what's their living expense, that they like when he moved to Colombia or the Philippines. And now because their cost of living is pennies, they never have to work again. Like they didn't have to put away that much money. And so the question was, so what's the bare minimum? And so then the exercise was, okay, how much money do you have in your investments, your bank? What's your net worth? Even if it's not liquid, because we're not going to spend it all tomorrow. What lifestyle could you have that you would never have to work again? And so we went through this, like, where could I live? What do I want to do every day? And then you realize, like, I never have to work again right now. Like, there are places I could move to in the world with the money I have now and live a reasonable life that I'd be okay with and never have to work again. And my wife's like, I'm not moving there. The whole purpose of the thought process is to realize, okay, that this is available to me. And then you work up from there. Well, where do I really want to live? What do I really want to do? But once you know that there's a pathway that if you don't like the path you're on, you're 60 hours a week and the paying for a Maserati, I don't have a Maserati, but I saw one yesterday, that there's a pathway that if you're done, you could just be done. If there's amount of freedom that comes with that, it's like, oh my goodness.
Huge.
I could just quit. I could drop it all.
Yeah.
No, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
And it clears up that freedom to then build other pathways that you can now add layers on top of what's possible.
I agree.
While being free.
I agree 100%.
That was awesome. So you keep saying these things that set me off and now I want to talk too much when you are the guest on the show. Alex, anything else you'd like to add for our listeners before we finish up here?
No, I think we covered like almost a whole life journey.
That's great. So now we know, like, and trust you.
That's it.
All right. So we will put all your social media links in the show notes. Somebody wants to reach out to you and get a hold of you. What's the best way to do that?
I am very active in our LinkedIn and Facebook Messenger. I think that's the best way.
Okay.
Emails. It's not the best way, but you can still email me at alex@zephyrequitygroup.com. I like that interaction, right? I like us to hop on a phone call, hop on a video. So I really get to know people. Whether they want to chat about real estate, they want to talk about business, they want to talk about VAs. That's my three jams, right? I got three things that we can really talk about. Being a father, being a dad. Yeah, that too.
Reach out. So they can reach out through LinkedIn, get set up, do a Zoom call, and get to know you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being here. This has been a wonderful conversation. It's been great for me. I've learned a lot. I hope it added value to all our listeners. To everybody out there, thank you for joining us on this episode of Surgeon Syndicate. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
We'll get back to our show in a minute, but first I want to offer you an opportunity to accelerate your learning. My life changed and my ability to start becoming work optional changed when I gained the people and the knowledge to start investing in commercial real estate. One of the key people there was Ash Patel and joining his Invest Beyond Multifamily Mastermind. With that, I had the people and the knowledge. Well, that mastermind is no longer open, but for a fraction of the price, Ash has now made a course. And this is probably the most valuable set of information and quickest way to move along your learning curve. So if you are interested in actively investing in commercial real estate and retail and industrial and office, I would recommend this course to you. We're going to include a pre-sale link both in the show notes. It'll also be on the surgeonsyndicate.com website. And in your checkout, we'll save you another 1%. I know it's not a lot, but every little bit helps if you use the discount code MIKE1487. So take that step now and move your future forward. If you're not interested in investing actively, give us a call here at Fortress Capital. And let's talk about what your goals are as a passive investor. But it's time to stop listening, start acting, and let's move your future forward. This has been an episode of Surgeon Syndicate. If you found value in this episode, know other surgeons are hungry to become job optional. You can help them by sharing this content today. I also want to serve you better, so I want to offer you two things. Number one, I'll be able to give you the content in an even better way if you can take a moment and leave an honest review of the show explaining what you like and what you don't. Number two, if you are a surgeon and serious about this, you don't want to do this on your own because you don't want to make mistakes with your money. I'd be happy to help. Schedule a call and we can make a plan. Looking forward to having you with me on the next episode.